answer one day to God for what I say. And I'm going to have to answer for the type of people that I raised up and brought along. Part of my job and a part of my calling is to be a shepherd, and I want to be the very best one that I can be. And I'm going to begin to say some things, and it may sting you. And if it does, I want to tell you, do not get offended at your pastor. Because I'm not doing anything to just purposefully tick you off. But if the truth ticks you off, that right there, honey, that's called conviction. That's what it is. And it's not my problem. It's your problem. I've been offended at my pastor many times. He offends the crap out of me a lot. Yeah, I said crap, and yeah, I'm on live. This is Arkansas, and I'm in Arkansas. Here we are. But he said, he looked at me, and he goes, well, I am not going to sit here and get all emotional with you. Because that is not what you need right now. I thought, what a jerk. What a jerk. What does he mean he's not going to get offended at, or get all emotional with me? I'm emotional and I'm his kid and he should get emotional with me. Look here, let me tell you something. You don't need people to get on that gravy train of your pity. You need to get somebody in your life that can look you in the face when you're being a certain way that ain't lining up with the Word of God, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, hey, we're not going to get all wishy-washy with this. We're going on. And if you ain't got somebody like that in your life, you best get them. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we don't have a God that cannot sympathize with us. But I want to say something. In everything, I have fashioned my ministry on this right here. If it is not in the Word of God, you will not hear me say it. The Word says, they rejected me. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. If Jesus Christ himself was rejected, with all humbleness that I can say, you are going to face rejection in your life. And I want to point some things out about Jesus. See, the Word says be imitators of God. And if you can follow after some of Jesus' most powerful game changers, you will be an awesome human being full of success. But one of the things that he did when he was fixing to be crucified, Judas came. Now, Judas was a disciple. And he was supposed to be loyal and loving and with Jesus. And he betrayed him. But before he betrayed him, Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed by somebody that he loved so much. And I want to tell you something. Many, many times, rejection is going to come from the people that you love the most. At the Passover, Jesus said, one of you is going to deny me. What does that mean? One of you is going to reject me. Look here. When people are sitting at your table of life, don't you get all up in your feelings when the people closest to you turn on you sometimes. Look here. That happened to Jesus, and it'll happen to you. And when it does, you can't afford to mentally go there in the depths of the ground and just wallow in self-pity. Amen. You got to say, hey, this stuff happened to Jesus. I'm not going to be surprised it happened to me. Am I saying it doesn't hurt? No. That's one of the worst pains that you can feel is when somebody close to you rejects you. But what I'm saying is this right here. Be a doer of the Word. What does that mean? No. No. If it happened to Christ, it's going to happen to you. Right before Jesus got crucified, when Judas led the soldiers to him, Jesus looked at Judas and he said, do what you came to do. Do what you came to do. What did he come to do? Betray Jesus. Reject him. That rejection right there was a part of the actual purpose of Christ. without that rejection, that rejection led Christ, angel, to the crucifixion. That's how they got Jesus. That's how they arrested him. That's how they got him to crucify him, to torture him, to do all these things, to beat him beyond recognition. Many times, rejections that you're going to have are going to lead you into your destiny. I can look back in the last 5 years of my life, and there have been some very key people in my life that I love dearly, and I love them dearly to this day. But just the rejection of them did me a favor, because it caused me to stop looking at them and to look to God,
hallelujah,
the author and the finisher of my faith.
Thank you, God.
Rejection hurts. It'll sting you. It'll shake you to your core. It'll make you feel like, well, what was wrong with me? Why was I not good enough? What did I do? And you'll dissect yourself. But look here. Use rejection to power you onward. Because you need to realize God has not rejected you. He has not left you. The Word of God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When everybody else does that to you, you've got one person in your corner that's never, ever going to do that. And that right there has got to be enough. On some days, you're going to walk it, and you're going to walk it alone, just you and Christ. That's going to have to be enough for you. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we're going to start again at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. If there's one thing that rejection does, is it kills your confidence. In its full form, when you feel rejected, you don't have a lot of confidence a lot of times. But see, the Word says, when you approach God, approach Him with confidence. If I approach God and I say, God, the rejection of some people have made me feel like I'm the worst pastor in the world. I can't go to God feeling like I'm the worst pastor. I can't begin to profess that I'm this or that I'm that. My confession has got to line up with the Word of God. Because if it doesn't, Bobby, my whole life is going to be off kilter. What you say out of your mouth has got to line up with the Word. That's why a lot of people, you see them, and they're good, God-fearing believers, but there's some little niche there that just ain't lining up. And many, many times, it's what they have said out of their mouth. It's the way that they've handled rejection. And can I just add in right here, it's not the end of the world when you get rejected. Sometimes that rejection is a blessing.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Sometimes that rejection that hurts you so bad becomes a blessing. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the people that you love. Go on. Go on. That's a part of your walking. Go with me to John chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And we're going to look here because, as I said earlier, many times rejection will come from people that are closer to you. So in John chapter 7, verse 1, it says this, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee and purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Jewish feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles that you do." No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. And since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. This was his brothers, and they were saying, if you really think that you're Jesus and that you're the Christ and that you're the Savior, then why don't you just go out in public and be that in public? Have you ever had anybody treat you that way? Well, if you think that you're so great, why don't you go and do this? If you just think that you have all the answers, if you just think that, well, then why don't, see, you're going to be treated that way, and you need to know that. But more importantly that you need to know that, you need to know this. If you treat people that way, you've got to stop. Many times, Aunt Fran, here is how God has dealt with me. I will experience something. I'm going to give you an example. When I would get mad at somebody, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but I'm going to tell some of the bad qualities of myself. When I would get mad at them, Jill, I would give them what I like to call the good old silent treatment. Hallelujah. Anybody else following me? I want to tell you something. The silent treatment does not work effectively. What it does, and we don't realize it when we're doing it, but what it does is it will put a wedge in between you and people that you love the most. Now that just hit home with some folks. And I'm like the dentist. If I hit a nerve, I'm going to keep hitting it for a minute. Because we're going to do a root canal right here in PCC at 11:30. Now, there's people that I love very, very much. And at times, they have ticked me off or disappointed me so much that I have rejected them and just given them the silent treatment. Because I thought that was really going to show them. Well, fast forward. Had an experience about a year ago where I did something that somebody didn't like. And they proceeded to give me the silent treatment for about a year. And I can't tell you how many times in that year that I boo-hooed to God about how sad I was about giving somebody that silent treatment, because I realized one thing. I was reaping what I sowed. So when we feel roughed up by someone else, when we feel rejected, when someone has hurt us, here's what we really need to do in life to be a very successful person. Angel, we need to take that feeling that we're feeling, and we need to ask ourselves, have I made anybody else feel like this? If you're feeling sad because someone's done something specifically to you, in your mind, right then and there, God, show me if I've made anybody feel like this. And what God will begin to do with you is he will teach you how to treat other people the way he treats them. That's why the word says, forgive as he forgave you. Because see, if we would forgive people the way he would forgive them, we would stop bringing up old stuff. You ever get in an argument with somebody and they'll bring up something you did 10 years ago and you're going, when did I do that? Well, that was 10 years ago. So his brothers, they were being rude to him. And it says, anybody who wants to be a public figure, they don't need to act in secret. And since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. And in verse 5, it says something. I had to read this about 5 times because I could tell God was trying to show me something, and I'm pretty slow sometimes. And in verse 5, it says, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." Even his own family didn't believe in him. Even his own family rejected him. Even his own family treated him badly. Many, many times, rejection and pain and hurt is going to come from the people that you're closest to, because that's how life is. If I steal Sherry's parking spot at the grocery store and I'm just a complete stranger, she's not thinking about that because she ain't best friends with the grocery store person. A stranger on the road doesn't have the ability to just hurt you and make you feel that bad most of the time. But the people that you keep in your close circle, many times they're going to upset you because you've let them be in there and get close to you. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what else is not good. And I have done this before. I'm a hot-blooded Italian woman, and here's just the truth of it. Somebody hurts me, I'll say, well, I'm never going to give them the option of hurt me again because I'm not going to be close to anybody. Has anybody else ever said that stupid thing? Okay. All right. Let me tell you something. You're going to get hurt, and people are going to hurt you, and you're going to hurt them. But you can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. We need each other. We need each other. You can't afford to get rid of everybody in your life just because they done a little something to you. Amen? Amen. We're going to have rejection. And guess what we need to do with it? Get over it as soon as we can. Because if not, it's going to get you in a part of your life where there's a root of bitterness that comes up. And when that root gets to growing, every part of your life is affected because of that one thing. So even his own brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus experienced this, and you will too, and we have to know that. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 10. The word talks about rejection so much that I had to really be careful with which verses I wanted to use. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 10, it says this, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." What is this really saying? Though people the closest to me, though they reject me, God's not rejecting me. It's going to happen, folks. When that happens, here's what you need to say, and here's what I need to say. Well, that happened, but God did not do that. God didn't do it. I was telling Frank yesterday or the day before, I said, I just had a bad day. Now, I don't know about y'all, but we're newlyweds, and I love him so much that when I really have a bad day, here's what I do. I get my fat girl pants on. They're elastic, and I eat some cookies. And then he's usually in the recliner trying to get away from me because nobody likes to be around their wife when they're in that kind of mood. And I go and I sit right on his lap so he can't go nowhere. Glory to God. Sorry, and he's, and then I get that real psychotic look in my eye with one tear and one madness. And I go, I just had a bad day. And I do this weird shaking thing. Sometimes I get so mad and irritated, I get on my own nerves and I'll just shake from it like a little chihuahua. I'm just like I'm being electrocuted or something. And he looks at me with his little sweet self, and he goes, "Now, sweetheart, did you just have a bad moment, or was it the whole day?" Well, now that you mention it, maybe it was just a bad moment. Look here. You're going to have a lot of rejection. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you have a moment of rejection in a 24-hour period, did you have 23 other hours that were pretty good? Probably. Amen. If you didn't, look here. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. You get a fresh, clean slate every morning. If you need a fresh, clean slate during the day, get on your knees and say, "Daddy, God, give me a fresh, clean slate. I've been a booger today. Help me. Let me start over." So Psalms chapter 27, verse 10, "Though my mother and father forsake me, you will receive me." God is always receiving you. He's always with you. He's helping you. He's not forsaking you. Rejection did not change Jesus' plans, and it doesn't need to change your plans. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and I love this person very, very much, and I look up to them very much. And I said, "I feel like I need a pep talk from you, and I want you to give me one. Give me your best talking to." I kind of told them briefly how I was feeling, and they said, "You know, you've got 100 people that are so happy with everything. They don't deserve an upset Kelly just because of one." God has given you a beautiful life. What does He want from you? For you to enjoy it. Don't let one little thing get you. Because let me tell you, when the devil catches on to that pattern, he'll get you every day with just one little thing. He'll start you off in the morning. Yesterday morning, I got on Facebook, Tyler. And now, I'm going to challenge y'all to do something. How many of you, if you'll be honest, some of you aren't going to because you don't do the Facebook thing, but how many of you, when you wake up in the morning, you grab your phone and the first thing you do is get on Facebook? Raise your hand. How many of you, when you've done that, you saw something that hacked you off first thing in the morning? I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to take this challenge with you. He's going to hold me to it. Here's the challenge.
You better be careful what you say.
I'm wording it right now. Get away from him. He's rejecting me right now, and I'm getting offended. But for the first hour that you are awake, do not get on your Facebook. Give that first hour to let God set the tone for your day. Give God that first hour to let Him set. Warren, let me tell you something. Yesterday, I just got my eyelashes done. And I told her, "Get me looking on point. I got a prayer brunch to go to, and I want to look phenomenal." When my little extra long doubles flopped open, yesterday, I reached for my phone on the nightstand. I got it, and literally, the moment I got on Facebook, I was ticked. And I said, "Frank, the devil is already starting on me today." And he said, "Oh, God. You're not going to let him mess with you today, are you? You got a prayer brunch to go to." Give God that first hour of your day to set the tone, because you know what? The people that love you and that the people that God are going to put in your path that day, they don't deserve to get the worst part of you. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not belittling rejection. I know that it hurts. I know that it's awful. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. See, rejection is hindering you. It'll hinder you. And the sin that so easily entangles. Let me tell you, if you let rejection go very far, you're going to get a root of bitterness and you're going to start hating life and hating people. And that right there is a sin. It's weighing you down, and you need to get it off of you just as soon as you can. And the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. God has mapped out and marked out your specific walk and your calling and your purpose. He's mapped it out for you. And he says in his word, let us run with it. Let us run with perseverance. Let us go with it. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You don't need to be fixated on the negative in your life, the rejection, the pain, the offense, all of those things. Do not fix your eyes on that because that's the only thing that you'll be able to do in that day. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's not about what they did, what they said, how they hurt you. It is not about that. It's about what he did. And if you will fix your eyes on him, you'll have a better time letting that stuff go. I told Frank yesterday, I said, everybody wants to just tell me, well, let it go. And I said, I hate when people say that because I want to know how to do it. Well, when I do what I preach, I know how to do it, and it's getting in the Word, and the Word will tell me how to do it. And the number one way it is fixing our eyes on Jesus. If I'm over here looking at how Sally Sue has hacked me off, I'm not looking at God. But if I can look at God, I won't look at anybody else. If you're looking at Sally Sue, you'll go from Sally Sue hacking you off, then Betty Joe, her cousin, made you mad, then Charlie Brown made you mad, and then, see, you'll just keep on going, and before you know it, you just hate everybody. If you'll just look at God and say, God, help me to just look at you, God will help you do that. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I'm going to give you, here is the meat of the word. We've kind of been sucking on the bottle here for 40 minutes. We're going to shift and we're going to eat some steak. How many of you like some steak? Where's Jeremiah? Me and him, we are in agreement. We love steak. Here's the steak part of the word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look in verse 43 through 48. Here is the meat part of this. Do not respond to rejection with bitterness. Say that one more time. Do not respond to rejection with bitterness. Do not respond to rejection with bitterness. A lot of our responses when we're rejected is we get bitter. We get angry. We get upset. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for people that reject you. Pray for people that have hurt you. Pray for people that have cheated you. Pray for people that have disappointed you. Stop hating them. Stop having that offense towards them. Pray for them and love them. Pray for them and love them. How do we stop the sting of rejection? We stop responding to it with bitterness. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Go with me now to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. Now, I'm going to take this out of my own life. Many times when we feel rejected, there's an anger that comes with that rejection, because this is what we say out of our mouth. After everything that I have done for them, they're going to do this to me. That is the wrong way to look at it. I have done so much for them. How dare them do this to me? After everything I've done for them, I can't believe that they're going to do me this way. Well, way back, I did this, this, and this, and I can't believe that they're not doing that for me. Well, I went to this event for them, but they didn't come to my event. See, God is tired of hearing that nonsense. And I hate to admit it, but I do the same thing. Here's why we shouldn't. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. God has called you to a place of peace. Rejection is going to get you every time that you let it. God has called you to peace. He hasn't called you to anger, irritation, offense, hatred, strife, division. You've been called to peace first and foremost. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, here's why you cannot sit there and say everything that you've done for somebody when they tick you off. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There have been times in my pastorhood where I've gotten off track because in my heart, I did things for people and I was doing it for them, Bobby, instead of doing it for God. And let me tell you something. We need to get it in our hearts that when we do things for others, when we serve, when we help them, when we pay their electric bill, when we do all these things, you're not doing that for that person. You are doing that for the living God. And if you will keep the attitude that that's who you're doing it for, you will have an easier time with not getting offended and mad every time you turn around, because people are not going to always react the way that you want them to. And when they don't, we want to say, well, look at everything I've done. How dare them treat me that way? But look here. If you have a heart and you say, God, I did that for you, and you're going to bless me for that. God, if this person disappoints me, God, they're disappointing you. And Lord, I'm not going to take offense to it, because God, my blessing and my ultimate payoff, that comes from you. The people are not your source. True promotion comes from God. So keep the attitude that what you do it for God. When you're rejected, look here, He was rejected. Fight off rejection with rejection. Now, I know that sounds crazy. Fight off rejection with rejection. Here's what I mean. If it doesn't line up with the word, it is not true. You need to reject every single lying devil that wants to tell you that you are not good enough. You need to reject every single thought of doubt and unbelief. You need to reject every thought that you can't make it. You need to reject every thought that tells you it's not going to be okay. You need to reject every single time that you say, well, God, I'm not good enough. Because let me tell you something, He made you enough. You need to reject every time that you're picking yourself apart because of what others have said or what others have done. You need to reject that. When you're sitting there and you think, God, I've done everything that I can do, why wasn't it enough? You need to reject that. Reject that rejection by rejecting every single whisper that the devil is telling you about yourself. What is the best way to do that? Get in your Word and read that part of the Word that says, you are the apple of His eye. Get in the part of the Word that says that He sent His Son. He loved you so much, for God so loved the world that He gave. Who did He give to? Us. Get to the part of the Word that tells you that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and not beneath. Get to the part where it says, as long as you'll stick with Him, He's given you victory. The victory's already been won. There's a million voices that'll tell you, it's not going to go good. You're not enough. You're not this and you're not that. You need to reject every single one of them. You need to go with what God has said about you. Last place for me this morning, Psalms chapter 147. We're going to look at verse 3. I believe in self-reflection. I think that it's very important for us to do. As I reflected this week, I saw a lot of pain in my own life that stemmed from rejection, different rejections that I've experienced in my life. And I got in my favorite chair outside under my pavilion, and I just began to weep to God, and I said, God, I want You to heal me from the wounds and the scars that rejection has caused me. So, Lord, fill me up and heal me up. And He brought me to this verse, Psalms 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up their wounds. Now, I want you to search yourself for a moment. And if there are some things in your life that have come from rejection and they still are haunting you and they're still bothering you and they still cause you pain, God wants to heal that place inside of you today. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet because I believe God is meeting you right in that place, right in the place where you felt rejected, right in the place where something happened and you felt like you weren't good enough, like you couldn't do it. Words that have been said over you, maybe for your whole life, that have always made you feel like you weren't good enough. If you're in your home and you've listened to this message and it hit home, you don't need to sit on your couch. You need to be a part and you need to get up on your feet if this applies to you. Right off your couch. God, in Jesus' name, I believe that all over the place, right now, Lord, You've walked up and down every aisle. You've searched every heart. God, right now, I thank You that You're healing the brokenhearted right now. Lord, You're binding up wounds that have been there for a long time. And God, I speak peace right now in Jesus' name. God, not peace as the world would give it, but peace, God, that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we've got some goodies for you. If you'll give